Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 332. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive either a audio tape or a CD of this program. It's absolutely free of charge, and the postage and handling is all taken care of as well by us. We're not government sponsored at all. We don't receive anything from the government but trouble. So we earn our money, and we put it towards the gospel. And we're going to keep doing this until it gets to the point, if that ever happened, where we're not able to do that. You need a Bible. You don't have the finances. We'll send it to you as well. All right, we have some singing today. Again, our guest star is Faig Springman and also the H.B. Barnum Choir, the Life Choir. And we have some strong testimonials and some Bible reading and Bible teaching. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. We already, though, if you're born again of the Spirit, have the Lord inwardly. We've received God's life in us. Before, we just had the life, our own life, which God originally gave mankind. But then in order for the Lord to redeem us, he gave us his life. He entered into us by the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the life-giving Spirit. It's God in Christ, this Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. And he's made us new creatures, creations of God, a twofold man, a God-man, a God and man combined together, the Spirit of God in us, and we, the bride, say, he that has an ear, let him listen to what the Spirit of God says unto the churches. And also, those that have an ear, or would like to be part of the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, well then, Lord, we pray that you'll open their ears and the ears of the church, the disobedient, and to those that are obedient so that they can reach another, a higher level in you. Lord, we ask it that the souls will be saved and the church strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Now, here's Faig Springman to sing Swing Down, Sweet Chariot. And that means let the Holy Spirit swing down and to take us into the place where Jesus is sitting in eternity right now. All of us are living in time, but we have eternity in us. Well, we are eternal now. If we're not eternal before we die, then we will not be in eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Our spirit's going to go on either in heaven or in the lake of fire. So here's Faig Springman singing, Swing Down, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. If that same spirit is in us, then he'll carry us home, even if we're dead in the grave. The same spirit that's in us, that was in Jesus, will take us up to take us home, our eternal home. Go ahead.
And what?
what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me
Sweet Spirit of God, the sweet Spirit of God, the sweet chariot that carries us after we pass away, or when, like Enoch, the Holy Spirit, the sweet chariot of God, came down and took him up in Elijah in a chariot. Amen?
Amen.
Sweet chariot was the Holy Spirit. That took him up into the kingdom of heaven, and Enoch had to come back as a man, and that happened in this era of time that we're living in right now. I know without a doubt that Enoch is living and on earth right now. Elijah came back in Elizabeth's womb when the Holy Spirit entered John the Baptist in her. That was the spirit of Elijah. Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah. And there's so many false teachers that say that Elijah is going to be one of the two witnesses. And Moses, no. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Enoch has never died yet. He was taken up. And he had to come back to earth. He's... because he has to die. Every man, it's appointed unto all men to have to die once, and after this the judgment. And so don't be saying that it's Moses and Elijah. Moses died. Elijah in John the Baptist has died now. So there's only one left that hasn't died, and that is Enoch. And he's here on earth now. Okay, and the entire body of Christ... not the fullness of the body of Christ yet, because the fullness of the body of Christ will occur when the last person has received God's life in Christ in them. That is true salvation. We need to first be washed in the blood of Jesus, but being washed of our sins is not salvation. This is a preparation of salvation. The actual salvation or regeneration occurs when God in Christ enters into our life. Our life is the life that God originally gave us when he blew the breath of life into Adam. And so at this point, unsaved people are in the first Adam. And those of us that are born again of the Spirit are in the last Adam. The second or the very last Adam. There's not going to be a third Adam or a fourth Adam. There's just the first and the second Adam. And the second Adam, the Bible says, is the last Adam. And we must be in Christ. Christ, yeah, we must have his regenerated, his spirit-filled life. Immediately after resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit. And he blew initial life into his disciples in the room where they were hiding. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. That means the life of God. And then around 50 days later, he told them to tarry right away. And 50 days later, they were filled with God's power. The same as Jesus received God's power when he was baptized by John the Baptist. When he arose from the water, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came down upon him as a dove. For the 120 people in the upper room, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It came down like cloven tongues of fire and sat upon them, and they received the power for the ministry, for the work of God. All right, so we have some testimonials today. Where's the first one from?
From Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Pastor Tony, I had the pleasure of meeting an elderly Jewish lady and was able to tell her of my belief in Jesus and what he has done in my life. Rita called today to thank me for giving her the Messiah book that Pastor Tony Lamo wrote. She said, Pastor Lamo has done such extensive research on this Messiah book. I just can't put it down. It's truly a masterpiece. I am so excited. You knew I would like it, and I do. He knows what he is talking about. I'm following along with the scripture references he has put at the bottom of the pages. I found a Bible in the drawer of my hotel room. I don't think that is coincidence. Rita was a professor of French and Latin for many years, teaching here in the U.S. and in London, Paris, Switzerland, Austria, and Morocco. She was also a translator for the U.S. Air Force. She is of Russian and Austrian Jewish descent, but was not brought up in the Hebrew religion. She believes God created everything. She has never been saved yet. She is 86 years old, sharp as a tack, and very spry.
Praise the Lord. You have another one?
Yes, from Orlando, Florida. A man from Orlando, Florida called our 24-hour prayer and information line. He was given a piece of literature that Pastor Lamo wrote regarding John Peeler. He says he's been saved since 1989. He was amazed to read the newsletter because he says no one else is talking about these truths in the churches he has been going to. They are all false doctrine. He has seen some of the videos exposing the 9/11 attack, such as Loose Change and the Alex Jones videos. He says he is going to check out our website and get more information. He was really excited to find someone preaching the truth.
Okay, and any more?
Yes. From Malawi, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, I would like to thank you very much for the materials you are sending me. May the Almighty God bless you abundantly through all his riches. I, my wife Cecilia, and my beloved brothers and sisters are busy distributing your literature and newsletters and teaching the new established ministries in Kota Kota and Zimba districts. We are on the topic of spiritual growth. Pastor, to say the truth, the literature and the Messiah books have really assisted us a lot during our two-week outreach in Mozambique and Lacoma Island. We had also a week whereby we established new ministries. During these 3 weeks, yes, we really saw the hand of the Lord. We enjoyed a lot as well. We have seen people who were in bondage of sin, demons, and diseases to be set free. And Pastor, to say the truth, there is a lot of work in Mozambique and Lacoma Island. This is my plea to you. Please keep on praying for us. We are still very far, and we are, yes, crying for the perfect milk as babes in the new Alamo Christian Ministries. We need to be grounded and rooted in the word of the Lord. Yes, wonderful things should be happening right away here through the servants of the Lord. Pastor, here are some of the pictures which will give you a picture of our outreach and new established ministries. We will have a follow-up outreach in Mozambique and Lacoma Island, as there is a great need of establishing new Olamo ministries in those two areas. Signed, Pastor Joy from Malawi, Africa.
All right, now Jesus, after answering John and James, that people themselves get their seat in the kingdom of heaven by allowing the Lord, by the intensified seven spirits of God mentioned in the book of Revelation, for the dark ages that we're living in, to be able to go through the persecution that we go through in these last days. Right after told them, all the other brethren were very angry at John and James, but Jesus called them to himself, and he said unto them. Now this is starting at in Mark chapter 10 verse 41. So this is 42. But Jesus called them to them and said unto them, you know. Now you people know, because you've been unsaved and now you're saved, that they which are accounted, in other words, accounted worthy to rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them. In other words, they're the big boss, and they exercise their bossomship over the Gentiles. That means over those that are lost. The Gentiles are people that have not yet been saved. Amen?
Amen.
So they were accounted to rule over the Gentiles, the ungodly, the unsaved. They exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But the Lord's telling his disciples now, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great, the mighty ones among you, shall be your ministers. You're not going to boss over the God's children. You're not going to do that. The pastor will rebuke and reprove you or them in the event that you're doing something wrong, but he will rebuke and reprove them from the Word of God. And then Jesus continues in verse 44 and says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. In other words, you'll be led by the Spirit more than anyone else. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus never railed on anyone but the devils. He railed on them a lot, didn't he?
Yes.
He called them dogs, pigs. Dogs that go back to their vomit. He took a whip and whipped them out of the synagogue because they were making it a house of merchandise. And I see that today. I was invited to a synagogue because they were having a sale of paintings by Dr. Greenspan. And I went in there and they were selling them left and right. Right is like a art gallery inside the synagogue. But those people are not saved. And if Jesus would have been here, and if that was people that would receive the gospel, he would have whipped them out of there. But so whoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all the brothers. For even the Son of Man and he calls himself the Son of Man because he is in the flesh, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So, we're talking about the Spirit of God. If you're the person that has the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to be lying about young Christians or older Christians. You're not going to be railing on them. But you will rebuke and reprove when you get to the level of spirituality in you. You will report them to the pastor until that time comes. And then the pastor will, like for instance the other day, they were ready to throw a person out of the church because he stated that he was a born leader, that he didn't want to listen to me, who God called to lead the church a long time ago by his Spirit. But I do not lead the church according to my will or my ways. But I do what the Lord said. I allow the Lord to live his life in me. Because I wouldn't have any eternal life at all. But for the, with the exception of the life that the Lord entered into me, which was his life. And he gave me eternal life, and he'll do the same thing for you. But then I had to be... I had to have the Lord work himself into me and for me to work myself into him. It isn't just a matter of me having God's life in me, but I have to have my life in him as well. That's what the Bible says. Now, the New Testament, when we're talking about, especially in these dark ages, we have to really be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the seven spirits of God. The proof of this is in Revelations 1, 4 and 5, and chapter 4, verse 5, and chapter 5, verse 6. These seven spirits are the, or an intensification of the intensified Holy Spirit. And the reason for it is for the churches. Entire universe that can give us life and can keep ourselves living life. Now, I'm not talking about our life. Our life has to be combined with the life of God. In Christ. Now, the book of Revelations, the last chapter, says, "Let the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come, come,' and let the Spirit and the Bride say this. Let the Spirit and the Bride say that. Before, it's just the Spirit saying these things, but when the people of the Lord are incorporated corporately into the life of God, and God's life is in them, then the Spirit and the Bride, or the human beings that have the life of God in them, become one, and they speak together. Let the Spirit and the Bride speak. Amen?
Amen.
They speak together. Amen? They no longer speak independently of each other, and therefore... those that are of the Lord do not exercise lordship over the people, but they become the servants of all. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you're not the servants of all, well, then you're not the combined, the corporate spirit with your spirit. Christ, God in Christ, has not fully incorporated himself in you, or maybe he's not even in you at all. Because we have to eventually speak as one. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit and the Bride. Now we, the Bible says, are the body of Christ, the Bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
So the life that we immediately receive from being born again is the very life of God. When Jesus, he said that Peter hadn't been converted yet. And so he did come into the locked room and blew his life, God's life, into him. This happened after he was resurrected. He became the life-giving spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus didn't do that before that happened, because he hadn't yet been glorified, raised from the dead, or resurrected from the dead by the Holy Spirit. But when he was, he became the life-giving spirit, and he was able to blow eternal life, immortal life, into his disciples' noses. So the life that we immediately receive from being born again, the Holy Spirit convicts us. We're sinners. We're hard hearts. We are hardened against the gospel. We're corrupt in every kind of way that there is. And the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, that we are sinners, or that we are corrupt, and that our hearts are horribly hardened against God. And so we become convicted of our sins, and we ask the Lord to give us his life, because it's his life that has the power in it. The power is the seven intensified spirits of God mentioned in the book of Revelation, and we need all seven of these spirits, which are also mentioned in the book of Isaiah. We need them in us in these dark ages that we're living. The dark ages were from, they've been forever, but especially for the Christian, because there was no real Christ living in people until around 2,000 years ago. And the first people of the Lord received all kinds of persecution, and we, right up to this day. And so this Spirit is given to us for us to be able to do the work of God. And that same Spirit came down upon Jesus as a dove, and 50 days after the Lord was resurrected from the dead, the Holy Spirit came down upon the 120 brothers and sisters in the upper room and filled them with God's power. They had God's life, but now they need, if they want to be in the ministry, if they want to be able to carry out God's work in these last days, they must have the intensification of the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God. So this life that we immediately received from being born again or getting God's life, and it must be preserved until the day we die, because the Bible says those, only those who continue on to the end must shall be saved. So there's no salvation. Just the first day that you get saved, that isn't the end of it. This is just the beginning of the process. Amen.
Amen.
For us, Jesus went through the process, and we must go through the process as well. Therefore, the Bible states that we shall have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. There isn't anything powerful enough in this world or in any other world to keep us dead to the world but the Holy Spirit. The intensified power of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to be degraded in these last days. They degraded the Apostle Paul, Peter, all the disciples, and the all of them had that spirit in them when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's a lot of people that are fighting that, and they're dead to the Spirit, but we have to be dead to the flesh. And the Holy Spirit, the intensification of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the book of Revelation, keeps us dead to the world. Now, the Holy Spirit is the most powerful force in the entire universe. and it keeps us dead. The Holy Spirit is powerful enough to keep us from sinning. Absolutely more than powerful enough. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the life-giving, intensified Holy Spirit in us. Amen?
Amen.
So we're more than conquerors in that Him who is the intensified Holy Spirit. In other words, we're either alive to sin or we're alive to the Holy Spirit so that we can be dead to sin. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord doesn't want us to suffer on the cross. Really, what He wants us to do upon the cross is to die. He wants us to die upon the cross because He did. And so we have to be united with Him in crucifixion. And after the crucifixion, then we have to bear... after the crucifixion, once we're crucified, then the Holy Spirit can enter into us. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is not going to enter anyone that is not willing to go to the crucifix. Not to suffer, but they have to go there to die. Lord, I'm sick and tired of this world. A lot of people don't even want to live. They just say, starve me to death if they get sick. Or give me a hot pop, you know. Put me out of this world. I'm suffering too much. But when you do that, you're committing suicide and you're asking other people to kill you or to murder you. And then you become guilty before the Lord. And if you think the sufferings are bad in this world, well, wait till you reach the judgment bar, God, and then you're cast into the lake of fire. You're not going to like that at all. So we have to be consumed by this process. And we have to be... So the consummation of the processed triune God is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride of Christ must be together at the universal, as the universal couple. We have to be married to Christ. And that happens by the Holy Spirit. We're consumed by the Holy Spirit to be eternal. The married couple, Revelations 22, verse 17. The processed and consummated triune God marries those of us that are redeemed. Regarding regeneration and transformation, we are regenerated and transformed, tripart human beings for the Lord's final manifestation, like He manifests Himself in us by the Spirit, and ultimate expression in glory for eternity. That's the ultimate. Revelation 21, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 5. When you read the Old Testament, you'll see that the Spirit is revealed as these are just simple terms. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, and the Spirit of Holiness. But in the New Testament, the revelation concerning the Holy Spirit is extremely complicated. You have to really concentrate on it. When you're studying it according to the New Testament revelation of the Holy Spirit has passed through a great number of stages. Of course, He was and still is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, and the Spirit of Holiness throughout the entire Old Testament. Throughout these 4,000 years from Genesis to the New Testament of human history. Then, of course, we have 2 more thousand years after that. from the time of Christ until now. But to say that God's Spirit has never changed isn't true. It has changed. It's a mistake to say that it hasn't changed. This is because after 4,000 years of human history, the triune God himself entered into a period of time. He was in eternity. Now he came into time. There's only time and eternity. We're living in time right now, but we also, because of the fact that we've been regenerated, are living in eternity as well by the Spirit. So now he came into time in which he passed through many stages. He was processed. These stages or process were, number one, incarnation. He came from heaven right into human flesh, incarnation, human living. And then he was crucified, and then he was resurrected. So human living is number two, crucifixion number three, resurrection number four, ascension number five. Now he is working in his heavenly ministry, which will be put to an end at his second coming. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, states that he will come the second time, not as the only begotten Son of God, because at one time he was the only begotten Son of God, but now he's moved into many sons. Amen?
Amen.
Not the only begotten Son of God, but as the firstborn, verses 5 and 6, the firstborn human that stepped back into eternity. He was so he came from eternity, he lived the human life, he was crucified, buried, then he went to hell, and he came from hell, death, the grave, and then he ascended into the kingdom of heaven as the first human being that was coupled with the Lord. He, his human body, and the Spirit became one, as we must. Amen?
Yeah.
And he was the first one to step back into eternity. So, how could we step back? Well, because before we were saved, we only had our spirit of just temporal life. And then he stepped into us. He was begotten. Every time somebody accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is reborn. Isn't that something?
Amen.
He's reborn in us. Amen?
Amen.
And then by our reading and being obedient and praying, we become... we get to the fullness of the stature of Christ. So he stepped back into eternity as the only begotten Son of God. He possesses merely divinity, but he will come the second time, not mainly in his divine status, but in his human status as well. He is a God-man now. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that something, the processes that he went through? And that what we must go through also in order to be able to fulfill the scriptures. But he comes back in his human status. Before his incarnation, Christ, the Divine One, already was the only begotten Son of God. John 1:18, Romans 8:3. By incarnation, by stepping down from eternity into human flesh, he put on one part of his process, and that was this element of this was the human flesh. This had nothing to do with his divinity, none at all. Then he went through human living, and then death, and entered into resurrection. His human body was resurrected from the dead. In this resurrection, or this part of the process of the Lord, his humanity, or his human body, was what they call sonized, S-O-N-I-Z-E-D. In other words, it was made divine. His human body was made divine. Isn't that something? Amen?
Amen.
So the human body was made divine. Resurrection was birth to Jesus. He was the first begotten. So when we are born again of the Spirit, we are resurrected from our dead life of the flesh. Amen?
Amen?
And the Lord wants us to keep that status, and not only keep it, but to grow in that status. So resurrection was the birth to Jesus. He was the first begotten from the dead, the first human begotten into divinity from the dead. He stepped into time, and now he stepped back into eternity as a human. If you understand that, do you?
Yes.
Okay, the first human begotten into divinity from the dead. The first human. Isn't that something? A human becoming divinity from the dead. Acts 13:33. Can you find that really fast? In that birth, Christ in his humanity was born to be the firstborn Son of God. Because we're going to read Romans 8:29 also.
Acts 13:33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee.
Right, so he begot him from the dead, amen?
Amen.
First he gave him into the world, into incarnation, then he begot him, the human, the God-man, he stepped him back into eternity. And now we have a brother sitting on the throne in the kingdom of heaven who can relate to all of our infirmities, our sickness, diseases, and so on, and this helps us. And when we pray unto him. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why reading the Bible adds to your faith, doesn't it? Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word. Okay, he did this in his humanity. He was born to be the firstborn Son of God. Romans 8:29. Also Romans 1:4. It says that he was God. Okay. In resurrection, Jesus brought his human self, his human self into the divine sonship of God. Now, as the firstborn Son of God, he possesses humanity as well as divinity. On top of this, as the firstborn, he brought forth many sons in the same birth process, and on this very same day, on the very same day that he was crucified, all those of us that are crucified were crucified then. We were crucified with Christ, and when he takes birth in us, then we have to be crucified with him and resurrected with him and by the Spirit. And we are in heaven at the present time. The Bible says that we sit with him in high places. He did all this on the same day, on the day of his resurrection. Not only did he do that, but also all of God's chosen people were begotten on that day. That's 1 Peter 1:3. Can you find that real fast?
Yes.
Okay, 1 Peter 1:3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
That says it in a nutshell, doesn't
Amen.
It? Amen. Since he was the firstborn, surely there were many others to be born or resurrected with him. It says that he's the firstborn from the dead. Surely there are many others to follow him. Millions of others as well were brought by him, and or they were begotten by him and through him, and not only born because of him, but they were born with him, or the very on the very same day, the day of resurrection. He was the firstborn, and we are the many other born sons of God on the same day in his resurrection. He was also made the life-giving spirit, 1 Corinthians 15:45. That was the consummation of God's process. He consumed himself into the flesh. In other words, he consummated himself into the flesh. And he lived the human life, was crucified, resurrected, and ascended into the kingdom of heaven, all because he wanted to marry us. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Amen. When he became born again of the Spirit, when we become born again of his Spirit, that is the consummation of God in marriage with us. And the resurrection was the consummation of God's process. Because at the time of his resurrection, we were all consumed from just flesh unto humans that are able to step into eternity. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Because the triune God has gone through all these different processes, so many processes, how could the Spirit of God have remained the same without any change? Actually, the Spirit of God has undergone a great change. The Spirit changed into the Holy Spirit for the bringing forth of Christ into humanity for his conception, Matthew 1:18 and 20. At that point in time, the Spirit of God entered into a new dimension, a new age, with a new life, the Holy Spirit. That's what it was, the Holy Spirit. Now, so the literal translation of the Holy Spirit is, quote, the Spirit, the Holy. This means the Spirit is the Holy One. Only God is, quote, the Holy, unquote. Only God is holy. In that New Testament age, the first thing God did was to enter into man for the purpose of making man God. Not in the part of, I mean, he's still part of the Godhead. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the bride. Amen?
Amen.
But only in God. So he's making a man into a part of God's being. Not actually in the Godhead or to be God, but so that he could become a member of the Godhead in eternal life and in the Lord's nature. He became God in man, that man might become God, so that man might be holy and perfect. Now, when people say that we can't be holy or we can't be perfect, then they're telling us that what God did is not powerful enough, or that he didn't go through the process to make us holy. This is why the Lord tells us that to be holy, for he is holy. Now, not only is God is holy, the man made by God can also be holy. Ephesians 1:4, 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, and the beginning of the New Testament, you can read that the Holy Spirit was still not yet. The Holy Spirit was not yet? Yes, the Spirit, quote, the Spirit, unquote. This is unveiled in John 7:39, which says, quote, the Spirit, unquote, was not yet. The Spirit was not yet, because Jesus in his humanity had not yet been glorified or changed. He didn't go ahead and been through that process yet. The Holy Spirit, who brought forth Jesus through his conception and birth, still remained the same without change. It was not until Jesus was resurrected into his glory that the, quote, Spirit, unquote, who shall flow out of the believers as rivers of living water, began to exist. This truth is something that has been void or missing among Christians today. So when the Spirit came into existence, there was a new era of time, a new age. Humanity had been constituted or put together, or the essence of it, into the Spirit from the time of Christ's resurrection. Whatever has been constituted and wrought into Christ has been consummated in the Spirit. So the Spirit of God enters into us is when we become consummated with Christ, with God, with the Holy Spirit as a marriage couple, a married couple. We're married. Today, the Holy Spirit of God is, quote, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who flows out of believers in Christ as rivers of living water. So the last Adam, which is Christ, became life, the life-giving Spirit. Now, if God be with us, in other words, we've been consummated to be one with him, and the Holy Spirit, and we speak together, then if God be with us, then who can be against us? If we're one with God, how could anybody be against us? Amen.
Amen.
So because the Holy Spirit is married to us, and we are married to the Holy Spirit, we have all this power of God. We have the power to allow the Holy Spirit to execute the crucifixion of Christ upon us. We are able to be crucified, to be dead in Christ. The most important thing. I see my time is up. But the most important thing, the most powerful thing, is for the humanity to be made dead. The human part of us must be dead in order for us to be able to be consumed by the Lord into eternity. And you can begin doing this right now by saying this prayer to the Lord. You first need to be born again of the Spirit, and that happens when you call out to God and trust him with your entire life, that he will put an end to it and let you live his life, or you will allow him to live his life in and through you. Okay, say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead the same way that he'll raise me from the dead if the Spirit of God is in me, the Spirit of Christ is in me, by the Holy Spirit, the intensified Holy Spirit, mentioned in the book of Revelations. I open the door of my heart and invite you in, Lord. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. If you're driving a car, pull over. And the thing you need to do is be baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, the intensified Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Thank you and praise the Lord. Okay, now Sharon, tell them four different ways to receive a copy of program number 332.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now here's the H.B. Barnum Choir. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message in the Lord. This is the Life Choir, H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.